Morning to hello people on Zoom at home. So glad that you chose to log on with us this morning to so we could be together in this way. I know a lot of things are limited, but we can still share time together and worship together as a family of God, even remotely. So thank you for everyone here and home at Zoom. Boy, what important time that just was that we participated in, declaring the goodness of God. Just reminding ourselves how good God truly is and how good he's been to us. In a world filled with heartache and troubles and stress and worry and uncertainty, to be reminded of the goodness of God. I want you to think with me. Imagine with me if you knew you were destined to succeed. If failure was off the table, you knew that you were promised success, you were promised favor, you were promised for things to go well. Imagine what that would do to your life if you could live with a certainty that things will go well. If you could cut out the uncertainty, the worry, the what ifs that our brain runs through, the things that stop us from action, and instead could act boldly knowing that you would succeed. I mean, isn't that something? Like, how would you live your life different if you knew things would work out for you? Let's take it a step further. How would you live differently for God if you knew that that taking steps for God would lead to success, that they would succeed, that you would find favor and you would be blessed and there would be success in those actions? Imagine what the steps we'd be willing to take for God if we knew there was, if we were assured success, assured that things were going to work out, assured that we were going to be blessed. So today we're going to be looking at the life of a man named Abraham, in which God made that promise to him. He made a covenant to Abraham that he would bless him, that he would be blessed in what he did. And we're going to see that how that affect Abraham's life and how that affect all the choices he made and the decisions he made after that, all based on that. And so if you have your Bibles, go and open up to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. We're going through this series where we're looking at the covenants of God. And today, specifically, we're looking at the covenant God made to Abraham. And these covenants are important because we see God working out his plan throughout history. Through all the ups and downs of the thousands of years of human history, God is working out his plan, not reacting to circumstances, but proactive in establishing his purposes and working out what he's doing. We saw a couple weeks ago in his covenant to Noah, God's covenant of mercy to his people, that he promises to withhold his wrath from his people. And so that we saw that covenant of mercy. Today, we're going to see his covenant to Abraham. All right, Genesis chapter 12, it's just three verses, verses 1, 2, and 3. This is what it says. And you're going to see, hold on, as we get into this, it says, the Lord says to Abram. It didn't call him Abraham yet. His name was Abram, and God changed his name to Abraham. And let's not skip over that. Let's remember that Abram is just some guy. He's just some dude. He's like you and me. He's not, if we only think of him as the, you know, the forefather and the, you know, and the Bible grade and the hero of all the Sunday school stories and all that, we kind of miss the point. He's just a guy, Abram. And then God puts this call on his life. Okay. Genesis 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And here's the covenant. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So here God makes this amazing covenant to Abram. And the theme of this covenant, which is repeated over and over again, is blessing. It's a covenant of blessing. He says to Abram, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you with descendants. I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to be blessed. I'm not just going to bless you. I'm going to bless your descendants. This covenant of blessing is going to continue on through your descendants. You will be blessed, and I'm going to bless others through you. You will be blessed, and you will be a blessing. And through you, all people will be blessed. So here's this covenant of blessing from God. And he makes his covenant to Abram to says, I'm going to bless you. Things are going to work out. Things, you will succeed. Things will go well for you. You will find favor. I'm going to assure you blessing in your life. And we see that Abram's life from this point changes. Everything changes because God makes this covenant with him. When Abraham understood, God is for me. God is behind me. God is leading me. God has promised me blessing. God has promised me favor. God has promised me success. That changed how he viewed life. That affected all the choices he made from there on. Like, so when he was faced with situations, it was all based on this one covenant that God made to him. It was like, okay, because of that, he dropped everything. He did just what God asked him to do. He left his country. He left his family. And that's a big deal. It's not like you and I leaving home. Like, this was a familial system where family stuck together. And so the fact that he left his father, his patriarch, and went on this journey, he left his riches. He left all those things, left his household to go to a land I will show you. So he picks up, he leaves. And for the next 25 years, he wanders. He literally is turned into a wanderer led by this promise of God. He no longer settles on one home. He's on the move. He lives in tents. He travels. If you look at a map and you can map out where he went to during these 25 years following this promise, this man walked over 1,000 miles, traveled up. That'd be like walking to Canada from here. That's how far he walked. He journeyed led by this promise of God, this promise of blessing. And God not only promised here in Genesis 12, he reiterated it again in Genesis 15, and then again in Genesis 17, and again to his son Isaac, and then to Jacob. And then so he continues this promise of blessing. And so for Abraham, that promise, it really served like an anchor in his life. All kinds of crazy stuff happened, but that's the one thing he held on to, is this promise of blessing. And so wherever he went, he let that promise lead him. And whatever happened, it was all rooted in this promise of God and his confidence in that promise. And so that was really his driving direction in his life, was based on that promise. Wouldn't it be great if we had something like that? Do you ever feel kind of rudderless, kind of directionless? Do you ever feel like you're just kind of floating through and getting by, and it's just kind of day after day and kind of getting through, and I got to get to the grocery store and I got to get the chores done and I got to just, oh yeah, my show's on this week or whatever. And we just kind of live life. And we don't live with the kind of purpose that Abram did. Abram was led by this promise of God, this promise of blessing. And I was like, gosh, wouldn't it be great if we had something like that we could hold on to? That God intervened and spoke in a way that we could hold on to, and that would drive us. It would serve us kind of our direction in life, and it would drive our choices and in this confidence, our assurance of this promise of God, this promise of blessing. Well, today, I'm going to be making the point to you that God's covenant of blessing is meant for you also as a descendant of faith. That's the point I'm going to be making to you today. This is kind of the main point this morning. God's covenant of blessing is meant for you also as a descendant of faith. The covenant God made to Abraham, continues down to you and I today, and that covenant is one to us also as descendants of faith. And now you may ask the question, Tom, is that good Bible reading? Do I get to just place myself in the center of a story that was thousands of years earlier? Do I just get to take what that is, grab those promises, and put them in my life? Do I get to just insert myself in that story? Is that really good Bible reading? And that's a good question to ask, because that's often not the case. It's often not wise. You just take something from thousands of years ago and think, oh, that's about me. And it's really all about me or America. And we kind of put ourselves into the story too often sometimes, make the stories really about us when they're about God and his people. Well, this morning, though, I'm going to be making the case that this promise is a promise we get to claim, this promise of blessing. That God's covenant of blessing is meant for you also as a descendant of faith. Because really it boils down to the promise, the covenant God made is to Abram and Abram's descendants, is this covenant of blessing. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you, and all nations will be blessed through you, and all people, you will be blessed, and you will also be a blessing. All that is to Abram and his descendants. So the question is, who's the descendants? Who gets to claim that? Who are the descendants of Abram? Genesis 17:4 points out it's not merely just the physical descendants of Abram. This is a question, can I just say, this is a question that's debated for a lot of the New Testament, that a lot of the epistles, the root of the things that are going on is based on this question. who are Abraham's descendants? Who are descendants of the blessing of God? Is it just the Jewish nation who are the physical descendants of Abraham? Or is it involved more than that? Is it involved Gentiles also? So the Jewish people and Gentiles are just non-Jewish people. So everybody in the earth is Jew or Gentile. You're either Jewish or you're Gentile, which means you're not Jewish. So that's the question. Who is a descendant? Who's truly a descendant of this promise that God makes? And Genesis 17:4 says this. This is later on, and this is during his third repeating of the covenant. God says in 17:4, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations." Many nations. So it's not just his physical descendants speaking. There's more than just his physical descendants. This is going to affect other nations that are going to be involved. He's going to be the father of other nations as well. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, in the heat of this debate, Paul makes this point about Abraham and about being a descendant of Abraham. He says this: "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." That's straight from Genesis 15:6, about God's approval of Abraham. "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles," that's the non-Jewish people, "by faith, and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you." So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So here we see Abraham is the father, not just of the Jewish people, not just the father of Israel, but the father of faith. That those who are faith in Jesus Christ are descendants of Abraham by faith. So it's more than just the physical descendants. There's this idea, the spiritual descendants of as descendants by faith. Romans 4, 16 and 17 says this, similar thing. "Therefore, the promise, the covenant, comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring." Again, this issue, who's his offspring? "Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I've made you a father of many nations." If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then you are a descendant of Abraham. He is the father of faith. And those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ are included in his lineage. That you and I, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ as I have, that you are a descendant of Abraham. And this promise of blessing is a promise not just to Abraham. It's a promise to his descendants, you included. That God's covenant of blessing is meant for you also as a descendant of faith. God has covenanted to his people as these descendants of Abraham, you and I by faith, blessing. That he will bless us as his people. That we will be a blessing. Five times in that Genesis 12, 1 through 3, 2 and 3 is the covenant. Five times in verse 2 through 3 does it say blessing. "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." That covenant of blessing made to Abraham is made to you and I. And what's so cool about this is what that means in our life. That concept changed Abram's life. It changed everything he did. It changed his direction. It changed his decision-making. It drove him and all the things he did. And that same blessing, that same covenant of blessing that God made to Abram and to all his people continues on to you and I through faith in him. So how should that affect our lives? How should that affect our expectations of what's going to happen in life? How should that affect the choices we make? How should that affect when we're faced with risk or faced with uncertainty? How should the idea, this concept that God has committed, had covenanted blessing to us affect the way we live our lives? It's a big, big deal that God has blessed, has covenanted blessing to his people, to you and to I. So if God has committed to bless us, we do need to, though, if we're going to be wise in the way we're looking at this, we need to understand what that blessing means. When I say blessing, what does that really mean for you and I? What can we count on? What can we take to the bank? What can we know when it says blessing? I worry when we hear God commits to bless us, we have some misconceptions that come to mind, and we need to correct those misconceptions. And we could do it right here from Abraham and in our own lives as well. So here's three observations about God's blessing to correct some misconceptions about God's blessing. Because if you're thinking, God's going to bless me, I'm walking out of here, I'm going to 7-Eleven, and I'm getting me 10 lotto tickets. Because God is going to bless me. take that back. I'm going to buy one lotto ticket because I don't need 10 because God's going to bless me. And we could get a misconception about what God's blessing looks like in our life. And it could lead to some unmet expectations and a reduction in our faith, a blow to our faith. Okay, observations about God's blessing. First one is this. God's blessing is according to his plan, not mine. When God says he's going to bless me, God's blessing is according to his plan, not mine. It would be wrong for me to say, well, God's committed to bless me. Therefore, I can finally have my dream, commit all my, give up all any work, or drop everything and go try to join the PGA Tour. I'm going to become a golf professional because God has committed to bless me. I'm going to make so much money and have so much success. I'm going to leave everything and go be a golf professional. Well, that's my plan. God is not committed to bless my plan. God is committed to bless his plan. When he said to Abram, he didn't just say, hey, guess what? Hey, Abram, guess what? I'm going to bless you. He says, Abram, guess what? Here's my plan. Leave your home, leave your country, leave your family, and go to the place I'm going to show you. God's plan, and I will bless you. So this idea of blessing, I think for a lot of us, we think God's going to bless what I want to happen. And God commits to blessing me in my own plan. And then we go about our business and just live out my own plan, building up my own kingdom and my own way of life and my own building up all the things I want in my plan. And then when God doesn't bless it, I'm disappointed. Man, I thought God was good. We just sang about God's goodness. But I tried all this stuff and none of it worked. Is it possible that we're just going about my own plan? I'm just going about my own plan and the God's instead of God's plan. And I'm expecting God just to bless my plan instead of being about his plan. God's blessing is according to his plan, not mine. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says about, here's the thing. You don't have to worry about God's blessing. He says, you don't got to worry about all the things that you worry about. All the what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live, all the realities of day-to-day life, the real needs. He says, you don't got to worry about that stuff. God knows that you need them. Here's what you do. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all that stuff will be added to you as well. Pretty much saying, let me translate, you just got to worry about his plan. If you focus on his plan, he takes care of that. He blesses. He takes care of all that stuff. You just focus on his plan and following his way. If you're about his business, he'll be about your business. He'll take care of the stuff that you got. And I can speak to that in my own life. Man, I dedicated my life to setting up the perfect risk-free path of money making and degree and salary and retirement, all that, all laid out. And then God called me out of that plan. And it meant giving up all those things, kind of like an Abram call. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your city. I want you to leave your job. I want you to leave all these things and go to the place I'm going to show you, which turned out to be Southern California and down here in LA area. And it felt like I had to give up all the things that I had to give up my plan. And I felt like I was sacrificing. I was going to lose all these things. But I can tell you from experience, looking back now, I can say, man, God handled all that stuff. All the things I thought I was giving up when I was giving up my plan for his plan. No, he's provided all that and more. Like everything's, it's been, I would never go back if I could. God has really blessed as I followed his plan. So it's important for us to remember God's blessing is according to his plan, not mine. So if you're thinking I get to do what I want, God's going to bless it, you're going to be disappointed. And I hate to see people disappointed from God. Okay, second thing, God's blessing is according to his timing. God's blessing is according to his timing. Often we feel like God calls us to do something and we're like, yeah, I'm going to do that thing. And we expect it just to take off and do that, like just be blessed and do this amazing thing. And it's going to be right away and immediate. And then when it's not, we're like, oh, I guess that wasn't God's thing then. Well, here's what we got to remember. It's God's blessing is according to his timing. God said to Abram, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you into a great nation, many descendants. That happened when Abram was 75. You know how old he was when he finally had a child? 100. He waited 25 years from the promise of blessing that God said, I'm going to do this. Abram had to wait 25 years for the fulfillment of that promise. He had to wander and go through ups and downs and all the bits of life chasing after this promise of God. And he had to wait 25 years. And I think that's important for us to remember because I don't like waiting 25 minutes. You know, I just like, you know, I now that everything's streaming, I can't sit through a commercial break. When I try to watch regular TV, I just find myself, my skin crawling as I'm waiting 2 minutes for the commercials to go by. Like how immediate we want things. God's time frame is different than our time frame. And that's okay. We just have to, I just want to have us have correct expectations. So when God calls us and promises to bless us as we follow his plan, beware, or just know, be aware that his timing is different than our timing. And if you're thinking it's going to happen right now and in this certain way, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. And you may think, oh, that must not have been God. But no, God's blessing comes according to his plan, not my plan, also according to his timing. And can I also point out that as Abram was waiting those 25 years, a few different times he tried to speed up the process. He tried to help God out with his plan and went terribly. So that's interesting too, right? That when he tried to take a shortcut and tried to, you know, oh, God's not taking care of this, I'll handle this part of it. That did not go well. God's timing is different than our timing. And then third, God's blessing does not exclude hardship. God's blessing does not exclude hardship. I think this is probably the biggest thing that we get wrong. We make a choice. God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow your call, not just general call my life, but I feel like, God, you're calling me to take this step of faith. And then things get hard. And we think, what happened, God? You asked me to do this thing. I did this thing, and now it's hard. I stepped out in faith, and things have gotten hard. I thought you were going to bless. I thought you this covenant of blessing, I've experienced hardship. But here's the thing. God's covenant of blessing does not exclude hardship. There will be hardship along the way. Abraham, his life was a mess during those 25 years. He had all kinds of, as he was following God, there was a lot of hardship along the way. I mean, he was coming up against kings, and he was in battles, and there was issues in Egypt. He feared for his life, and there was a lot of fear and a lot of hardship along in his life, along as he's living out this life of blessing, as God was blessing. But there were still hardships along the way, still hard times. So the reason I point this out is so that you and I, when we face hardships, we won't be thrown. We won't give up on God's plan and give up and think, well, God's not blessing because things are hard. No, there's going to be hard times amidst the blessings. I mean, look at the disciples. All the disciples, we would say, oh, man, they're so blessed. They God used them in mighty ways, and what a great life they lived. Yeah, but they were all martyred. You know, they were killed for their faith, and you know, they had a tough go. How about Jesus? Jesus, he gave it all, right? He ended up dying on the cross for you and I. He lived a life of suffering. He's the man of sorrow, yet as he was following God's life of blessing for him. So God's blessing doesn't exclude hardship. So I don't want you to think that if something bad happens, that means, well, that must not have been God's. This must not have been God's call for me. This must not be God's blessing because they're hardship. No, we see from Abraham, we see it in our own lives as well. Okay, so God's made this covenant to you and I. A covenant of blessing. He made it to Abraham, and you and I also get to claim that covenant as descendants of Abraham, as children of faith. That Father Abraham is the father of faith, and you and I get to claim that same blessing, covenant of blessing. But that doesn't mean we can just go do whatever. It means that blessing is according to God's plan, not mine, according to God's timing, not mine. And it could also include some hardship. So don't let that throw you. Okay. So here's where I want to end this time. Here's where I wanted to take this. This is the therefore. This is the application. So if you've been kind of zoning out the last 20 minutes, 10 minutes, I want you to refocus, tune back in, because here's the take home. Here's the application. This is the application. God's covenant of blessing means I can follow him confidently. Here's the application. God's covenant of blessing means I can follow him confidently. And here's why this is such an important distinction. Because I think a lot of us know that God is good. A lot of us think that we understand that a lot of churchianity is built on the goodness of God and God's blessing for his people. So much so that prosperity gospel has become a thing. The idea that God is here to bless me, and then therefore that means only good things will happen to me. And then it turns God's role into my life as he is my genie. He is the one that brings good things in my life. He is the one that makes sure nothing bad happens to me and makes sure only good things happen to me. And he gives me money and a house and a relationship. And he brings all the things I want. And then really he answers to me. This prosperity gospel built on this covenant blessing, the idea that God will bless. Okay, great. Then what becomes the highest calling of a Christian following that path is blessing. Highest calling is ease. Highest calling is comfort. Highest calling is what God can do for me. And that's what it's about. And God is just another means to the to this way of comfort. And here's why that's such a problem. If we only understand God's covenant of blessing is one that is in this mode, that God is only here to help me get what I want. If we only think of it in that mode, then when God calls us to do something hard, it doesn't fit with that picture of our prosperity gospel. It doesn't fit with that picture of God's role as blesser of me. When God asked me to forego, when God asked me to sacrifice, when God asked me to pick up my cross and follow him, we said, well, that's not my God. My God blesses. My God gives in abundance. My God gives to overflowing. He would never ask me to sacrifice or forego or to walk this difficult path. That can't be God, because that does not fit with my path, my picture of God. And if people come to Christ only as a means for blessing, means of material blessing, you're going to be disappointed. Because God is going to call you to some difficult things. And if that's the only picture you have of God, then you will not follow. You'll say no, because the reason I'm here is to get blessed. And that looks like a tough road. Count me out. So that's why the application this morning is so important, that we don't get this wrong. The application of God's covenant of blessing that you and I get to claim, God's covenant of blessing means I can follow him confidently. What that means, his promise of blessing means I can say yes to him no matter what. I can say yes to him to do the really hard thing. Why? Because he's promised to bless me. He's promised to take care of me. He's promised to see me through. He's promised me success. But it looks scary. It looks hard. It looks difficult. But I can follow him confidently because I can trust him, because he's promised to bless me. Now, that blessing is going to be according to his plan, not mine. It's going to be in his timing. You know, it may be later than I wanted to see it. It could also include some hardship. But I can say yes to God no matter what because of his promise to bless me. So that promise of blessing isn't, we turn it into a reason not to take chances for God. I want you to turn it on his head. And because of God's promise to bless you, that you would be bold in following God. You would take risks for God. You'd be always on the lookout. God, what do you want me to do right now? What do you want me to do today? What, God, what do you have for me? I want to follow you knowing that you will take care of me, knowing that you will bless me. I want you to live confident lives in Christ. I want you to live bold, exciting, adventurous lives for Christ, seeking God and his kingdom, to be fearless, to take chances, to be courageous. This covenant of blessing is a reason you and I can step out of our comfort zone. If my well-being is only up to me, then I want to stay in my comfort zone. But if I trust God to take care of me, if my well-being is in God's hands, that gives me confidence to step out of my comfort zone. Abraham had to leave his home, had to leave his people, had to leave his family, had to leave his country. Those are all big steps, leaving his comfort zone. God, Abraham even had to put his own son on an altar and begin to go to sacrifice him. Be willing to sacrifice him. God called him to do very difficult things, hard things. But why Abraham did those things? Because God had promised, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. I got you. So when you and I face difficult things, hard things, the application of God's covenant of blessing is to follow him confidently. Say, yes, God, I'm in. I know it doesn't add up. I know it's scary, but I want to follow you. Thank you for all you've done for me. So it's really a proclamation of trust. It's a proclamation of faith. Is it possible that the life of faith we talk about so much is really more of this than just believing that he died on the cross for my sin? Maybe that's part of it, obviously a big part of it. But maybe how it plays out in my life, the life of faith is a life of trusting God that he will take care of me, being courageous and saying yes to God, rooted in this idea that his covenant of blessing, that he will take care of us. So that's my hope for you today. That's my hope for our church, that we are courageous, that you would say yes to God. The things that God's been moving on you to have that gospel conversation with someone, to make a choice, life direction choice you feel like he's been leading you to make. Maybe it's to step out into deeper steps of discipleship with someone else. Maybe it's these steps that God's calling us to do and our inner comfort zone says, no, no, no. My hope for you is that you'd be courageous in following God. You would step out in faith, trusting in his covenant of blessing that he'll take care of you. Abraham did it. Jesus did it. It's a model for us. is what I want for you, and it's what I want for me. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for knowing our weakness. Thank you so much for knowing our fear, knowing our worry, knowing our the things that stop us from saying yes to you. Thank you for ahead of time leading with this commitment, this covenant of blessing. Thank you that we can hold on to that. And God, I pray for each one of us, me included, you would help us to fix our faith on that, fix our faith on you. We would look to you and your promises, and that would lead us in our lives. God, if there's anyone here or at home on Zoom that's resisted your will, resisted your calling for fear of what may come, God, I pray for renewed faith. I pray for reminders of the ways you've shown your goodness and shown your trustworthiness. God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for your mercy. Thank you so much for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.